Today's Bible reading comes from Genesis 12, 1-3, and it can be found on page 11 of the Pew Bibles. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and your will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you."
Would you join me praying one more time as we approach God's word? Lord God, we praise you that just like with Abram, you speak to us. Lord, you took the initiative to reveal yourself to us when we did not know you. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself in your goodness through your word. Lord, take these eternal truths and bind and knit them to our hearts. Change and transform us more and more in the likeness of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. What is the point of being blessed? Some people might say the point of being blessed is being able to post a picture on social media with a hashtag, or what we also call bragging. More of us, no, that's not right, but we might think of being blessed, the point of being blessed is that your life will go smoothly, without friction, comfortably. The more easy things come to you, good things come to you, the more blessed you are. We often think about blessing as kind of just measuring how good our own lives are. And this passage of the Lord's promise of blessing to Abram, who he would later rename Abraham, so I will call him both names accidentally, almost assuredly, teaches us biblically how to think about blessing. That blessing doesn't just simply benefit the one who is blessed. It also abounds in blessing and benefit to those around the one who's blessed. Consider, the Lord spoke to this man, Abram. And what did he have to make him great before the Lord spoke to him? Nothing. His only immediate family was his already elderly wife, no children. And yet, to this man, the Lord had determined to bless him and bless the earth through his offspring. There are three verses and there are three points of our sermon tonight as we look at three parts of this blessing. First, there is a call to enjoy the blessing. There is a call to enjoy the blessing there in verse 1. The Lord called Abram to leave his family, leave his land, leave his father's house. If you look just above here in chapter 11, Moses gives us a genealogy from Shem to Abram, that family tree. And you see there in verse 27, it begins telling you about Abram's father, Terah. Actually, just above that in verse 26, you see that he had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Down in verse 28, you can see that while his father Terah was still alive, Haran, one of the brothers, died. Abram and Nahor had both married, and while Nahor and his wife had had children, Sarah was barren. And in this situation, the Lord appears to Abram and called him to leave his father's house. Culturally, even though he was already 70 years old, it would have been considered a repudiation of his father to leave before his father died. And if you look at the ages of Terah that's stated here, and later, if you look later in Genesis and learn about when he died and the timing, well, you see there in verse 32, he was 205 years old when he died. So Terah was 70 when he had all of his sons. Abram left Haran when he was 75. So Terah was at least 145, maybe older, depending on where in the birth order Abram went. But Terah died at 205, which means that Terah lived 60 years after Abram left. It's not like his father was on his deathbed and he just went and left. His father was alive for a long time. In fact, if you do the math with when Sarah died, Terah and Sarah only died a few years apart from each other. Much of the story of Abraham happens while Terah was still living. And yet the Lord called Abram to leave his family, even though his father was still alive, and go to a different place. In addition to that challenge, consider that the life of a nomad is a dangerous one. Traveling outside of settled areas means you are exposed to bandits and thieves. There was no highway patrol in those days. There were no automobiles. To go from one place to another is to be exposed, as opposed to being safe and settled where you know where things are going on. And yet Abram left the security and the comfort of what he knew to go where? To a land that I will show you. In other words, Abram left not knowing where he was going to. He had to leave acting according to faith, which is the evidence of things unseen. And that's what we see here in Abram's life. He had been promised that the Lord would show him a land, would give him a place to live, but he didn't know where that land was. He didn't know what that land was, what it looked like. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 11 describes what Abram did here in this way. He says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." God spoke to Abram without Abram asking him to. God gave him these extravagant promises of blessing, and they're stated as an unconditional gift. "This is what I am going to give to you, Abraham." But it began with a call for Abram to trust God. Belief precedes a right to blessing. Trust that God will bless you, and he will keep his word. And just after our passage, in verse 4, we see that that's exactly what Abram did. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. Moses doesn't explain to us anything that Abram thought between hearing the Lord speak to him and making the decision to leave. He just presents it almost as if it's for granted. If God speaks, of course you want to obey him. God called Abram, so Abram went. The call to enjoy a blessing. Secondly, we see that Abram is blessed in order to bless. He is blessed in order to be a blessing. The promise isn't just about a new place to live in, a new house for Abram and his family. Look there in verse 2. The Lord committed, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great." You know, the irony is what God promises Abram here is what back in chapter 11, the men at the Tower of Babel were trying so hard to accomplish for themselves. They were working so hard to try to make their name great, and they failed. And here, God just gives the same thing to Abram. God determined to make Abram a lasting people and give him a lasting legacy. And from where we sit now, we can see that God has kept this promise. Abram was made the beginning, not just of the nation of Israel, but of many nations. Multiple kings have come from this man, not just the nation of Israel, but also the 10 princes of the Ishmaelites that are described later in Genesis. The nation of Edom, these also came from Abraham. And then even better, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus explained who are the children of Abraham. Listen to this in John 8. This is him rebuking the Pharisees. He says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth I heard from God. That is not what Abraham did. Abraham's true children are those who listen to God and show that by believing in Christ. In Galatians 3, Paul will flesh this out. He tells us all who put their faith in Jesus Christ are Abraham's children. When I was a kid in Sunday school, we sang a song about this. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. You didn't realize how good a theology you were learning in that song. Abram stands in the Bible not just as the father of a nation, but as the spiritual patriarch of all who trust in Jesus. Friend, when you first put your faith in Jesus Christ, you may have known nothing about Abraham. You may have never even heard his name or realized that he was in the Bible, but when you believed in Jesus, you became a part of his legacy. When you began to live like he lived, trusting in the promises of God, the promises of God given and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Look there at the end of verse 2. The Lord states that Abram would become such a great nation, he would have such a great name that he himself would be a blessing. And friends, this is how God's blessings always work. When he blesses a person, when he gives gifts and privileges to a person, that person is not the only one who benefits. The one who is blessed by God is a blessing to those around them. And in the wisdom of the world, no one can benefit without taking from someone else. If I win, that means you lose. If I gain, that means there is less for you to have. But that is not how God's economy works. The one he blesses is a blessing. Abram's blessing was a gift from God, and when he received it, it benefited him, it benefited his family, it benefited the people around him that responded positively to him, it has benefited eventually even indeed the entire world. From the offspring of Abram because of this promise. And that's always the way it is with God's blessings. So don't ever fall into believing that you should feel guilty for the blessings that you're aware of in your life. Don't feel guilty, Christian, that you have received salvation in Jesus when others perish in their sins. Why were you made a guest? Don't feel guilty. Rejoice. Don't feel guilty over good gifts like dear Christian friendships or a supportive family or the blessing of a spouse or children just because you know someone who hasn't received those blessings. God has given you those blessings and will make you a blessing through them. So joyfully receive God's good gifts and know that when you receive God's good gifts, you're not indulging the flesh. You are rejoicing in what God has given. Your enjoyment of the gifts God has given you is good for you and it is good for others. You know, sometimes Christians can even feel guilty about enjoying the benefit, say, of a faithful gospel preaching church when they know other people who are in churches where they're not hearing the gospel, where they're missing out. But beloved, again, when you are edified and built up in your faith, When you spend time with fellow believers and that is encouraging and refreshing to you, that is not selfishness. I mean, you can always twist good things into a cover for selfishness if you want to. But God's gifts are always gifts of grace, which means they are always good for you. And your enjoyment of them will benefit others as well. How does that work? How does that work specifically in this blessing to Abram? Well, that's our third point. The means of the blessing. The means of the blessing, which the Lord explains there in verse 3. How is it that he will be a blessing to others? Not because of what there's something so great about Abraham, but because of what God has promised here. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abram would be a blessing to others because God had determined that he would direct the rest of his, that's God's blessing and favor toward mankind based on how we respond to and treat Abram and his offspring. As the Lord repeats this promise over and over to the nation of Israel. He says it in Genesis 27, verse 29. He says it in Numbers 24, verse 9. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Friends, if you want God's blessing, you must bless the ones that God has chosen to bless. If you treat them with disdain, you will be cursed. By setting out this simple standard, God lays a pathway right here in Genesis 12 for blessing to all peoples on the earth. That word, peoples, is actually the same word translated clans back in Genesis 10 when Moses described all the clans that descended from Noah. All nations that came from Noah's son, friends, that's every people, will be blessed if they respond to this man and his offspring by blessing them. And friends, here is the remarkable thing. As we walk through the Bible, we see the greatest blessing that God can give is counting you as a part of Abram's family. Galatians 3, let me urge you to go and look at Galatians 3 later and Paul's reflection on Abraham's life. But especially verses 7 and 9, he says this, it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, when God said to Abram, here in chapter 12, in you all the nations shall be blessed, Paul called that the gospel. That's because Abraham was blessed by doing nothing other than simply believing what God had promised him, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And it's also because for all the ways in which Abraham and his family and the nation of Israel that came from him blessed other nations throughout Genesis and throughout the Old Testament, the final and the best way that the nations of the earth have been blessed through the offspring of Abraham is in his one and final offspring, Jesus Christ, the long-awaited seed of the woman, the offspring of Abraham, the Savior, not just of Abraham's family, but of Adam's race. This promise here in Genesis 12 reaches its climax in our Lord coming. Our Lord God, who made the promise, came and was the fulfillment of the promise that he made to Abraham. The way that you get blessing from God is by blessing the one whom God has blessed. And friend, no one is more blessed by God than God the Son, who is also a son of Abraham. When you honor Jesus by believing what God has said, that you will be counted righteous, you'll be forgiven of your sins and considered one of God's holy ones because of what Jesus has done in dying on your behalf. That is blessing Jesus, and you will be blessed. But if you demean Abram and his offspring, if you fail to honor and bless his holy offspring, Jesus Christ, then God will oppose you. You don't get God's favor apart from blessing his anointed son who descended from Abraham. And if you're listening and you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, I hope you hear this clearly. God is happy. God is glad to bless you and to accept you into the family of those whom he blesses richly. But if you will not honor Jesus, God will not honor you. Put your hope in Jesus, and God will bless you with all the blessings that he gave to Jesus, Abraham's offspring. But don't miss the other part of what Paul said there when he was reflecting on this promise. He said that those who are of faith, who believe and accept Christ's work as the basis of their blessing, he doesn't just say that we are blessed by Abraham. He doesn't just say that we are blessed through Abraham. He said that we are blessed along with Abraham. We are counted as his sons, as a part of his family. The blessing that you receive when you bless God's people is that you are made a part of God's people. And so the cycle continues in you, church. You have been blessed by blessing God's people, particularly the one man, Jesus Christ, and now you have been made God's people, unconditionally blessed. And you've been made a means by which other people are blessed, brought into the family of God as they meet you and hear you say the good news. And they say, thank you. What you are saying is good news. Praise be to Jesus. The blessing spreads and spreads and spreads. You have the news of the gospel. You have unmerited favor from God. And when you rejoice in that blessing, you magnify God before men. And your magnifying God before men will bless those men as well. God blesses those who believe his promises. And Christian, in your life, you get to confirm to the world that is true. You get to stand as one of many, many examples of that truth. Because you get to be counted as one of God's people, not because you are impressive or uniquely good or uniquely important in this world, but because you recognize that Jesus is worthy to be blessed. You have seen the one whom God exalted, and you have praised his name. Beloved, this is our mandate as God's people. We must enjoy the blessings of God. We must enjoy the blessings of God. And when we do, we will be a blessing to others. We will be a blessing to others as we rejoice in ourselves and tell them of the good news of the blessings that is found in Jesus Christ, the offspring of Abram, the son of God. Our blessing is for our benefit and for the benefit of others. You know, another way of encapsulating that blessing to us and how we, when we believe in Jesus, we honor his name, how we are blessed and we are given the privilege of blessing others. You could summarize it in something like this. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you that you are so gracious and generous. Lord, like Abram, we deserve nothing. And yet, while we are still dead in our sins, you sent your Son to prepare a way that we might return to you. Lord, we praise you that that was always your plan, that even here in Genesis 12, we can see your intention to bless all who have blessed the name of Jesus, Son of Man and Son of God. Lord, help us to rejoice and celebrate in your blessings. Lord, help us to be so filled with thankfulness and gratitude that we cannot help but be a blessing to others. We pray this in the name of the one by whom we have a rightful claim to anything in your kingdom, Jesus Christ. Amen.